Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Frustration. It's probably not an emotion we tend to think much about, but my next guests do think it's worth considering more. Dr. Harry Barry, GP and mental health specialist, is with me here in the studio. And joining me from our Limerick studio, we have Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And it's lovely to have you back with us again. So frustration, Harry. Why are we not talking about frustration? Yeah, overlooked, you think?
This frustrates me. But all we're hearing at the moment is we're living in an age of anxiety. Even we were discussing it last night. And anxiety is the only word we ever hear. And we hear about words like depression and shame and guilt and hurt and all that. But we never discuss frustration. And frustration is one of those hidden emotions that's tremendously destructive of our lives, causes great problems, say, in the air, causes lots of burnout. So I suppose the simplest thing to do, what is frustration?
Yeah.
You know, so frustration is very, very nicely described as discomfort anxiety. Do you know what I mean? It's basically, to put it in a nutshell, suppose I'm anxious about my Leaving Cert results. Do you know, I'm making demand, I must do well in my exams or else I'm a failure. So I'm anxious. Whereas, yeah, I go to college and I get an assignment and I'm bored. Why? So my thinking is, why the bloody hell should I have to do this assignment? This is a waste of my time. I could be doing so many other enjoyable things. So I get totally frustrated and I procrastinate. And that's fine to a point, like we all get frustrated. But it's when this becomes what we call low frustration tolerance, where it becomes the way, our way of life, which we'll talk about in a minute, that's when frustration really starts to become a problem. And I think it's a much, much bigger problem out there than we're discussing.
So maybe we are describing other issues,
yes,
and other emotions in a way that doesn't include the word frustration and should.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Why is that relevant then, the word frustration and the emotions around it, Anne-Marie, when it comes to conversations around mental health?
Yeah, so as Harry says, and can I say, Harry, not all college assignments are frustrating, you know. I have to get that in there, not in psychology. But, you know, frustration is this negative emotion like so many others, but we don't often have a label to talk about it in mental health conversations. And I think it's also important because we're all going to encounter situations in our life where we might have a frustrated response. So if you even think about heading home after work, you pull out of the car park, you think you have a clear run home, and maybe there's a diversion on your route. So some people will shrug their shoulders and carry on, and others might feel very frustrated, irritable or angry, and most of us somewhere in between. But the point is that situations that might cause frustration, we're going to meet those in everyday life. So we need to be able to have a very frustrated response to them. And I think another reason I find it interesting in mental health is it's a big part of irritability. So frustration is really central to irritability, and that is a feature of lots of conditions like anxiety and like depression. And we also see people who have ADHD, for example. ADHD isn't a mental health condition, but people with ADHD and other neurodivergence are often vulnerable to mental health conditions. And people with ADHD often report high levels of frustration in day-to-day life relative to others. So there's loads of reasons why thinking about frustration is important for mental health.
So Anne-Marie, if I describe it in this way, so I want something, or I want to get somewhere, to use the example of the traffic, and I can't get what I want. I can't get through that traffic quickly enough. I feel frustrated. Are we talking about how I respond to what has just happened?
Yes. Yeah, you could be the negative emotional response you have to that. And it might come with behaviour on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might, you know, put your hands down and cross your arms and be a little frustrated like that. You might see a behavioural indicators of this emotional response. But we're all going to have an emotional response, but some people's will be a lot more exaggerated than others, and some might have this for a longer period of time. So if you even think about something that might make somebody angry, some people will think, well, look, you know, I'm a little bit angry now, but I'm going to manage my emotions, I'm going to regulate them. And others might fly off the handle. So we differ in how we respond emotionally to these events. But the point for frustration is we're all going to meet situations that might cause that kind of response in us. So it's good to talk about.
You mentioned, Harry, low frustration tolerance. What's that about?
Yes, low frustration tolerance. Now, this is one of my most favourite topics. And by the way, anybody listening here, please get out your sense of humour, because you have to have a sense of humour for this particular emotion. If I meet somebody who comes in to me, for example, and they think they're anxious, and within 5 minutes we're doing a sheet, not on their anxiety, but on their LFT, their frustration. The three key points about a person with LFT. If you find you're living your life through this lens, this is the key. The first one is, I want long-term gain, but I don't want any short-term pain. I want the situation to change, but I don't want to change anything about myself, and I want it now. Mm-hmm. If you can recognize those parameters in yourself, and if you recognize the behavior, and it's the behavior that really bothers me, it's the behavior that causes the destruction of your life and the difficulties. So suppose I'm somebody who every time I meet a problem, suppose I'm a manager in a company, or I'm even at home with children or whatever like that, and my natural response is every time there's a problem, my natural emotion is to blow, but my behaviour is what caused the problems. I become irritable, I become short, I become bad-tempered, I take it out on the people around me, I may go into a sullen silence. Very often say in those wonderful college students who never get bored with their assignments, but sometimes their natural behaviour is procrastination, which they figure it's up to about 60-70% in college from mm-hmm. really not being not wanting to do it. So a very good description: if LFT is running my life is usually a mess. Mm. And it's a very common association with burnout. So we never think in terms of...
Are we talking about people who are angry with themselves?
No, they're angry with the situation. They want life to be different. So the thinking behind LFT is very simple. I don't want to suffer any discomfort. And I want people, situations and life to change to suit me.
Lazy.
Good luck. Good luck with those two demands from life.
Anne-Marie, what do you say to all that?
Yeah, I think there's lots of terms for how we experience different emotions, and low frustration tolerance has been studied in relation to college assignments and so on, as Harry says, and also other aspects of life. I would see this pattern of low frustration tolerance just as part of the bigger picture of emotion regulation. So emotion regulation captures those processes by which we influence the emotions we have and when we have them and how we experience and express them. And having good emotion regulation skills is really important to live our lives happily and to not engage in kind of behaviours that might influence other people destructively, as Harry says. So if somebody has strong emotion regulation skills, they can manage their emotions in ways that keep them on an even keel, broadly speaking. And if they don't have strong emotion regulation skills, they will get frustrated easily, upset easily, might have these kind of difficult behaviours that accompany that. So I see it as fitting into this bigger picture of emotion regulation strategies that we all need to develop.
Mm-hmm. So we need to regulate our emotions, or we would like to be emotionally regulated. But when does that become repression of your emotions? I'm really frustrated at somebody, but I have to behave in a way that doesn't display that, Harry.
Yeah, no, I think the first thing is you're quite right, and Amory is totally correct, that the secret is to regulate our emotions. But one very important thing, we never should try to suppress an emotion. We must accept it, recognise it and accept it, and try and change then the way we look at things. Because we can change our thinking and we can change our behaviour, but you should never try to go straight for the emotion. It's like saying, don't be anxious. Mm. What a ridiculous thing to say to somebody. Now, I might look at the thinking behind your anxiety and your behaviour, and similarly with frustration. So if somebody comes to me and their life is a mess, well, my attitude is, look, you're not winning at the moment at this game you're playing with your life. Your home life is a mess. Your work life is a mess. You're fighting with people. By the way, if you meet somebody on the road, on the motorway, who blasts you out of the way, welcome to LFT.
That's it, isn't it?
I happen to notice by maybe...
Happens a lot.
It happens a lot. And I notice a lot of the cars seem to be yellow number plate, but maybe that's just sheer chance.
That is sheer chance.
That's sheer chance. But you know, but if you know, if that's the classical person who is, I'm going to get it out of myself. Do you know? So what they don't realise that it's very bad for them. They're pumping out noradrenaline, their or aggression hormone, and that gives rise to muscle tension, tension headaches. It also gives rise to things like, you know, cardiac arrhythmias, you know, more seriously, high blood pressure. And funny enough, I've actually seen LFT associated with depression. You know what I mean? Where the person gets so frustrated that eventually they trigger a bout of depression.
So what do you do? Let's use that example because it's a really good one. You're driving on the motorway. You're trying to overtake. Somebody is sitting in the outside lane. And what you want to do is beep the horn, flash the light.
Lose it.
So what do you do instead of doing that?
Right. So I have three questions that I get people to do in a notebook for about 2 months. And this, by the way, solves the problem. But you really have to have a sense of humour and you have to be very disciplined to do it. So the three questions is, what's my long-term goal in this particular situation that I'm frustrated about?
Mm-hmm.
What short-term pain am I trying to avoid in this particular situation? And what changes in my thinking and my behaviour do I need to make in this situation? So if we take the example you've given me, right. My long-term goal is I want to get to my destination safely and hopefully calm. Now, my short-term pain is I could blast and go absolutely nuts, you know what I mean? Or I could simply say, look, it's not worth the effort. I'm going to change my thinking. I can't change the behaviour of this person in front of me, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? So I can accept what I can and or change what I can, accept what I can. If it was me, I would move in, I'd turn up the music or turn up the radio station I'm listening to, and I would sit back and let these people blast by because they're the ones who are actually going to get more frustrated because they're going to go about a mile down the road and going to hit a bigger traffic
problem again.
Whereas if you go at a steady, steady rate, you will get. So in other words, it's all about every time I get frustrated, standing back, looking at my behaviour, changing my behaviour, change how I think about the situation. And suddenly I find I'm not as frustrated about it.
Well, I suppose the only thing that you're not doing there, Anne-Marie, is scratching that instant itch that you had to blow off steam. And is that okay to repress that itch?
Yeah, so I wouldn't see it as repressing it. There's a difference between shifting how you express something and repressing it entirely. And I'd agree with Harry that you don't want to be repressing or suppressing emotion. That's not going to help you deal with the emotion in the moment, really. And it's not going to help you develop skills to deal with that emotion when you see it again. But you could recognise that you're someone who might be easily frustrated with situations. And in that example, of course, everyone's safety is at risk, right? As a cyclist, I often meet people who are frustrated and I catch them up at the lights pretty much every time in the village. So certainly being able to identify you're someone who is getting frustrated, but look, let's pick up on that. Let's reappraise the situation, reframe it and think what is the end goal to get somewhere safely.
I mean, what we're describing really is toddler behaviour.
It's
throwing a tantrum.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite common in toddlerhood, absolutely. And unfortunately, some of us maybe weren't supported to develop those skills as much in toddlerhood or childhood, or maybe we're stretched a little thin in terms of other stressors. So we need more help in adulthood. And of course, we treat it differently in toddlerhood. But the tips Harry mentions are good for adults.
So there's an important lesson here for parents as well, Harry.
Absolutely. Like I have parents, sometimes we do a sheet, by the way, on I'm losing it with the 6-year-old or the 5-year-old or 4-year-old because I want them to do something and they refuse to do it. So my ask to you is, what's your long-term goal here? My long-term goal is, look, this is a 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever. And I want this child to grow up in as kind of calm and as sensible kind of house as possible. So I might have to say, look, you know, this is a child. I can't change their behaviour, do you know what I mean, because of their age. So maybe I'm the person who has to change and back off and just come out of the situation, turn up the music
and relax.
And relax.
Easier said than done sometimes.
I think that's a really, really good example. But I think it's normal for us all to get frustration. It's only when frustration takes over your life and you're seeing everything through that.
I'm frustrated with the clock now because unfortunately we've come to the end of the programme. But Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven, thank you very much as always for being with us. The show was produced by Rachel Graham today, researched by A.B. Philpman Bowman. Michelle Gibson was our broadcast coordinator and Damien Chanel was on sound. Let's head over to Louise.